chiefest of all unto thy bride, fullness divine in thee I see, wonderful man of Calvary.
Chapter 13, and just a short sermon tonight, or a short word tonight, and I trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word to us, and just want to speak briefly, if I can, simply about the wisdom and the mighty works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, again, you could spend a lot of time on that because it's such a subject and the scripture is full of it. But just briefly tonight, maybe it's an introduction to something more, but just briefly tonight, I'd like to read the story where Jesus came into the synagogue, or he came into the temple, and we'll take up the reading at verse 54 of Matthew's Gospel, Chapter 13, and if you'd like to stand to your feet, I'll just change your position. If you'd like to stand while we read the Word of God tonight, and you get your legs stretched, and we'll have a beginning at verse 54. And the Bible says, "And when he was come into his own country," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch as they were astonished," pardon me, "and said, Whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honour, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. We'll just ask the Lord again to bless his word. Our Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We ask your blessing upon it. We thank you for already a sense of your presence here in this room. And we pray, Lord, you'll minister to us and you'll give grace tonight, Lord. Let everything that's said and done here be bring glory and honor to your holy name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Holy Spirit, you'll take a deal with each of our lives, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may have your seats. Now, you'll have to forgive me tonight. I'm a bit croaky. I'm just getting over the cold, and I was a bit like a frog there when I was trying to sing. I don't know if I've got a frog and stuck in my throat, but I hope I'll get it out of my throat. You know, first of all, it's maybe not in keeping with what I want to say, but I want to say, first of all, does anyone here get the Bonbridge Chronicle? Well, you'll notice, so first of all, you'll notice about the price of it. It's two prices. It's £1.60. It's not worth it. But anyway, that's the times that we are living in. And also, there's a small article in the Bonbridge Chronicle, and it's about a high court judge. I don't know if you've noticed that, Brother George. But a high court judge has made a ruling, or he's made a statement, and he's talking about teaching children in the primary school education, Christian education only. And he more or less said to teach children Christian education only is unlawful. Now, did you ever hear such a statement coming from a judge, a so-called high court judge? He said to teach children only the gospel or religious education in the schools is unlawful. I wonder, does he ever know where law came from? The Bible says that the law came by Moses. Outside of Moses, there was no law. And outside of Moses, there was no Ten Commandments. And outside of no commandments from God, there was no foundation for law and order. Absolutely heathen. Absolutely ungodly. Absolutely anything goes. Kill. Murder. All these sins, commit them freely, with no penalties. But what is wrong today? What is wrong today? People call good evil, and they call evil good. And it's not only among the community, but it's on the so-called judges of this land. But I'm glad there's a judge. And he's not an earthly judge. He's a heavenly judge. And he said that God had appointed a day in which he would judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. And that man is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Jesus, when he was speaking, he said, I didn't come to judge the world. I come to save the world. But he said, the word that I have spoken will judge the world in the last day. Hallelujah. I'm glad that there's a true judge. I'm glad there's a judge, and he came from heaven, and he's going back to heaven. And any people that will hear him, they're going to be in heaven. Isn't that good to know? There's somebody walking about out there. Well, what do they call that out by J.P. Nicholson? J.P. Nicholson was preaching, and he said that the door opened every now and again, and somebody come in from the back. And whenever somebody came in from the back, everybody turned around and looked at him. No, that's a disease. And they turned around and looked at him and said, Don't worry about it. He said, if somebody comes in with a pair of horns, I'll let you know. Well, anyway, let's get on with the sermon, because time flies so quickly when you stand up here. You know, Jesus was in the synagogue. We're told he was in the synagogue. We're told he was in his own country. And he went into the synagogue and he went into the temple and he began to preach. And I've written it down here that Jesus had perfect understanding. Jesus had perfect understanding. And he not only had perfect understanding, the Bible says, but he had mighty works. And I've written it down here, he had mighty works of loving kindness and grace. And I'm glad for the loving kindness and the grace of God. I'm glad for the mighty works of God, and I'm glad for the grace of God. Amen. I'm glad for the loving kindness of God. And you know, Jesus spoke, and the Bible says he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, his authority come from heaven. His authority was God-given authority. He didn't get his authority from a man-made system. He didn't get his authority in a seminar. He got his authority from God. And that's good, that his authority was heavenly-based and it was heavenly-orientated. And it says that he taught them in the synagogue and so much that they were astonished. Now, I have something to say about that, but before I do say that, I'll just turn briefly and keep the place marked in your Bible, Matthew 13, but I want to turn briefly to Psalms 45. On Psalms 45, verses 1 and 2, you could read the whole psalm, but I'm not going to do that for time's sake tonight. I want to keep it brief if I can. And the psalmist here is speaking about the Lord, I believe. And he's saying, my heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of things which I have made, touching the king. My tongue is a pen of a ready writer. You know, when he said my tongue is a pen of a ready writer, exactly what he was saying was, what he was speaking needs to be recorded. And I'm glad what God spoke is recorded. Because some of the things that are spoken, you know what, do you see what that judge said, so-called judge said, you know what you need to do with that? Delete. You know that wee button on the phone that says delete? There's one on the laptop, delete. We get a message, delete. You know, people send me messages all the time. And you know what this do? It's preaching. People preach to me, well, I need it. I know I need it. But I'm forever getting preached at. But do you know what I have a habit of doing? I listen a few words. Just listen a few words. And you get that thing switched on. It's called discernment. You get the discernment going. How long does it take you to discern a spirit? 2 minutes. If you can't discern it in 2 minutes, you're deceived. If it's false, you're deceived. But if you're not deceived, and you know that you have the discernment, you can, there's something you can do. Hit that wee button that says delete. And just delete it. And some of the things that people are saying today, they need to be deleted. They need to be expelled. They need to be cast out of your mind. They need to be cast down. They need to be put away from you. And you know, thank God, the teachers in the schools have objected to this. That's right. And the MPs have objected, and the MLAs, some of them, has objected. But imagine a judge standing up and making that sort of a statement to say that it's unlawful to teach children about the gospel or to teach them religious education. It's unlawful to teach them not only, in other words, you need to teach them Buddha, you need to teach them all the other false religions. It's even become unlawful now to tell a boy he's a boy and a girl he's a girl. That's unlawful also, isn't it? You're no longer allowed to chastise your children. You're no longer to tell them what gender they are. They're allowed to make up their own minds. Even the animals wouldn't do it. Where have we got to? Where has society got to? You know, they've got away from the Bible. They've got away from the Word of God. They've got away from the teachings of this Holy Bible. But here the psalmist said what he says. He says his tongue is the pen of a ready writer. In other words, what he's saying, it needs to be recorded, but he's ready to write it down. He's ready to have it in his heart. He's ready to believe it, and he's ready to adopt to it. And verses 2 of Psalm 45 says, "Thou art fairer than the children of man." Now that's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. And you see, when it comes to peace, he's fairer than anybody. When it comes to a sinless life, he's fairer than anyone. When it comes to a perfect life and to understanding and wisdom, he's fairer than anyone. And when it comes to loving kindness, he's also fairer than anyone. When it comes to the grace of God, there's none like him. You know what it says also in the very next statement? It says, "Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever." You know, the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're full of grace. We talked about the law. Now, what does the Bible say about the law? The Bible says the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Outside of the law, we didn't know what was right or we didn't know what was wrong. But the law, we don't disregard the law, but we know we're not saved by the law. We're saved by grace. Amen. Through faith. And that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So God gives you the gift of faith, and God gives you grace to believe him, and it's by grace you're saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Thank the Lord for grace. And thank the Lord, it was said of the Lord Jesus Christ that grace was poured into his lips. You know, there's some people's lips and they don't have any grace on them. They've got foot and mouth disease. What is foot and mouth disease? Every time you open your mouth, you put your foot in it. I've been there myself. But thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ, his lips were full of grace. Full of grace. You know, they brought that woman who was taken in adultery to Jesus, and they wanted the Lord to condemn her. But he just stooped down, he wrote on the ground, and he looked up at them and he said, "Let him that is without sin among you." You see, they come to preach him a sermon. They said, "Moses said, the law says this woman must die. The law says this woman has to die." Let me say this. The devil says die, but Jesus says live. Amen. The devil always wants to kill. The devil always wants to destroy. He wants to ruin your life. He wants to fill it with anxiety. He wants to fill it with fear. And he wants to fill you with doubt. But Jesus came that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. And they brought that woman to the Lord and they said, "Moses said that such a one should be stoned." Well, Jesus just, the Bible says, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground, and then he said, "Let him that is without sin among you cast the first stone." And beginning at the elders, one by one they walked away. Then what happened? Oh, I love the grace of God. What happened? Jesus looked up and he saw the woman and he said, "Woman, where is thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Hath no man condemned thee?" You see, there wasn't one man there that could point the finger. There wasn't one man there that could condemn that woman, because if he had it done, he would have been condemning his own self. He wasn't able to point the finger. He wasn't able to say to that woman, "You're guilty." For they were all guilty. Yes. And what did Jesus say? Well, his lips is full of grace. He said, "Woman, where is thine accuser?" And she says, "None, Lord." "Has any man accused you?" "No, Lord." He said, "Neither do I accuse you, or neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Hallelujah. You know, them's the greatest words anybody could ever hear. That Jesus says, neither do
she's going to die. But the brother to the giver of life, if you want somebody to die, never bring them to Jesus. Take them to the devil. They brought the woman to Jesus. Anybody that ever came to Jesus got life. Nobody never came and got death. But let me move on here. You see, the Bible says that the people was astonished. They were astonished. It says when he taught them in their synagogue, and so much they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Why were they astonished? Do you ever ask yourself, why were they astonished? The Bible says they were filled with amazement at the words that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. They were filled with astonishment. They couldn't believe it. Filled with amazement, filled with astonishment. Couldn't believe their ears. And then why was that? Do you know what I've written down here? Because Jesus was above their expectations. And Jesus is still above the expectation of many people today. When Jesus came into the synagogue and started to teach and to preach, he was far above their expectation of him. They didn't expect to hear what they were going to hear. You know, when people go to church, they have a routine, don't they? We all fall into a routine. And they're just expecting, some people go to church, they have to have a three-pointed sermon. And if they don't have a three-pointed sermon, it's not a good sermon. Some people go to church and they have to hear about a certain man. If they don't hear about a certain man, it's not a good sermon. It's not a good meeting. Some people go to church and they say, did you see what she was wearing? She wore that last year. I know one particular denomination, I'm not going to mention any names, and that was the highlight of some of the meetings, what the sisters wore. I didn't like her hat. I didn't like that dress. She has wore that from the year one. Oh, it's the same rigmarole. It's the same dress up. And that's, you see, when Jesus went into the meeting, there was expectation. But I believe he was above their expectation when he went in the temple that day and he began for to preach. And they said, whence has this man these words having never learned? Whence, how did, this man shouldn't be talking like that. Sure, look at him. And you know, Gary brought it out wonderfully this morning, how God had took the foolish things and the weak things and the things that are despised and the things that are not to bring to naught the things that are. But whenever they went in and heard the word of God, they made a judgment. And you know, people make a judgment. Well, they believe it or not, they make a judgment every time they hear the word of God. And first of all, the judgment they make, is that correct or is it incorrect? Is that right or is that wrong? And you know, there's maybe no harm in doing that, making a judgment. But you see, these people began to question. Because he was way above. I believe he was way above their expectation. He was greater than all their expectations. Jesus Christ was greater than all the expectations that them people had of him. And he was on a mission. He was on a mission from his Father to come into the world and to go to that place called Calvary and give his life a ransom for many. And I've written down here, because Jesus was above their expectation, Jesus is still above the expectation of many people today. You know, the sad news today is that people have put the Lord into retirement. They say he no longer does what he used to do. Some people even say Jesus no longer saves. I heard a man once, and he was preaching, and he said, I'm not saying that mercy's over, but it could be over. I disagree with him 100%. I couldn't disagree with that statement more. Thank God for mercy. Let me tell you, if mercy was over, we wouldn't be here today. We would be over for us if mercy was over. The Bible says the mercies of the Lord endureth forever. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His loving kindness. And thank God that the hymn writer penned the words about Calvary and said, mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden sold for liberty at Calvary. Now moving on. You see, they're making a judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they want to know, they say, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Mighty works. Now what? The desire to know the channel of his supply, but only out of contention. I believe that. Now these people, not all the people, but these people that was listening to him, they were desiring to know the source of his supply, but only out of contention. What does it mean to be in contention? It means to be against. It means to be thrown. It means to be the opposite. It means that you're not going with the flow. And you see, Jesus went in the temple, and it didn't matter if people was going with the flow or if they weren't going with the flow, he still spoke the truth.
Amen.
And you know, God help us always to speak the truth, no matter who it pleases or who it doesn't please. Because Jesus always spoke the truth, and he wasn't really concerned about who he was going to please or who he wasn't going to please. In other words, Jesus Christ never preached to the gallery. What does it mean to preach to the gallery? Well, I heard of another man, and he's not here to defend. Some of these men I'm talking about, they're not here to defend themselves. They say you shouldn't talk about somebody who can't defend themselves. But this man said he would preach for a certain man, and he would respect his pulpit. Respect his pulpit. What about the Lord's pulpit? What about his pulpit? What did he mean when he said he would respect his pulpit? He meant he wouldn't say anything that would offend. He wouldn't say anything that would go against the grain. He wouldn't say anything that would be contentious, maybe to their way of thinking or their doctrine. Now I know we're not come out for to make trouble, or we're not come out to store things up, but the truth's the truth.
Amen.
The gospel's the gospel. And you know, if God has sent a man to preach, he ought to preach the preaching that I bid you, like the Lord said to Jonah, go down to Nineveh and preach the preaching that I bid you. Don't be preaching somebody else's sermon, or don't be preaching someone to tickle their ears. Tell them the truth. Why tell people the truth? Tell people the truth because it's a matter of life and death. It's urgent. You know, my woman received a letter from the DVA, is it? The other day about her road tax for her car. Now, I'm glad to say she's got a wee car and you can tax it for £30 a year. It's real cheap to tax. But it said on the letter, urgent. Your tax is up. Urgent. Your tax is up. £30. If you go to the Chinese, it'll not bring you out of it. £30. Urgent. Your tax, your road tax is up. Well, I'm not saying break the law, but I don't know if it was all that urgent. It's only road tax. We'll get it done. And not only that, the car will be taxed from the date that the tax is up. It'll be taxed right through. £30. Urgent. But what things are urgent? People neglect. Things that are urgent, people put it on the back burner. It's sad. I'm moving on. I'm taking a lot of your time. I said they desire to know the channel of his supply, but only out of contention. More or less, he is only the son of a carpenter. Now, we're going to come to that a little later, but I want to turn over, and I know I have written it down here. It's Matthew's Gospel, and it's chapter 21. And listen to these words, because Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, if you want to turn with me and keep the place, because I'll be turning back soon. And this is where the chief priests and the elders,
approached the Lord Jesus Christ, and they asked him, by what authority? And we read in verse 23, and when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, by what authority doest thou these things, and who gives thee this authority? By what authority doest thou these things, and who give you this authority? What are you doing? How are you doing this? How are you doing this? By what authority are you doing this? And who gave you the authority? You know, if you've heard that statement made before, who gave that man the authority to say that? Who gave him the authority to do that? Well, they said that about the Lord. Who gave this man that authority? And they come into the temple and they go down and they ask them boldly, the chief priest and the elders. And you know, some of the opposition that Christ received, he received it in the temple. The very place that you would think he wouldn't receive opposition, he received opposition. The very place that you would think he wouldn't receive any contention, he received contention. Right in the synagogue, right in the place where people are meant to worship God. And there the Son, the only begotten Son of God, came right in and started to teach and preach. And right away there's contention and there's opposition to what he's saying. And saying, how do you do this? Where did you get the authority? Who gave you the authority? What are you doing? And it says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. And he asked them a question. You know, that question is relevant even today. And it says, the baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of man? Now you see, we know the baptism of John come from heaven. Any man that has a ministry from God is sent from heaven. It's not an earthly man's gift, it's a heavenly gift. It's a heavenly gift to open this Bible and preach the gospel. It's a heavenly gift to have the revelation of Jesus Christ, who he was and what he was and why he came, and that he's coming again. That's a revelation from God. And they said to him, Jesus said, I'm going to ask you a question, and when you tell me the answer, I'm going to tell you the answer. And he said, the baptism of John, whence was it? Was it from heaven? Or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him? Why did ye not then believe him? And if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither will I tell thee by what authority I do these things. And the Lord didn't tell them. But he asked them a question and they couldn't answer. Now they knew the answer, but they were afraid to answer. Because he would have had them if they had answered what from their heart. But they didn't. They used craftiness. They used deceit to answer. And they said, we cannot tell. They told a lie. Even before the Lord. And you know, Jesus never told lies. He always told the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thank God. Now, moving on quickly, you're listening well. They want to know the source of his power. They want to know the source of his authority. And they want to know who gave him this authority and who sent him. And then they're struggling with the identity of Jesus Christ. And in verse 55, they're making a stab. I've written it down here. We see then an unsuccessful attempt to identify the Lord Jesus Christ. And too many times people are trying to downgrade Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen. They said, we know him. This is Joseph's son. This is the carpenter's son. He ought not to have these words. He ought not to have this authority. He ought not to have these mighty works. This is Joseph's son. Sure, we know his mother. We
we know his brothers and we know his sisters. So they made an unsuccessful attempt at identifying the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Peter didn't make any unsuccessful attempt. What did Peter say? He said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And when Peter said, or Jesus said to Peter, when many of his disciples went back and walked no more, whenever the Lord said to Peter or his disciples, "Will ye also go away?" Peter could say, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." I'm glad for that. You know, tonight he still has the words of eternal life. And we see here an attempt by these people to identify the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're not able to identify him, because they say, "He's only the son of Joseph." You know, how was he identified? He was identified as a prophet. Spoke to the woman at the well, told her name, told her she had five husbands, and the one she had now was not her own husband. The woman says, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." And, you know, he says, "They that worship God must worship God in spirit and truth." And Jesus said, she said, "When Messiah comes, he'll show us these things." He said, "I that speak with thee am he." And that woman went into the city, and she said to the people in the city, "Come see a man that told me all things that ever I done." Amen. Hallelujah. And the woman said, "Come out and see him. Come and hear him for yourself." And the people went out, and they heard the Lord Jesus, and they, you know, when they met that woman again, they had a testimony. What was the testimony they had? You know, when you come to Jesus, you'll get a testimony. If you never come to him, you'll never have a testimony. But when you come to Jesus Christ, he'll give you a testimony. You'll have a testimony of his saving grace and his saving power. You'll have a testimony of eternal life through the Son of God, who loved you and gave himself for you. But whenever that woman at the well met the man again that she sent into the city and talked to, they said, "We have heard him for ourselves and know and believe that this is the Christ who was to come into the world." Why are we here tonight? Why am I standing here tonight? Because of grace, and because I can say, "I've heard him. I've heard him for myself." Have you heard him for yourself tonight in this meeting? If you haven't, you can. If you've never heard his voice, or you've never responded to his voice, you can respond to it tonight. And you know, everyone that ever did, they had a testimony. Everyone that ever did passed from death unto life. Hallelujah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what the Bible says about these people? I said there were unsuccessful attempt to identify the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know there's result. There was results of that. What was the results of it? The Bible says they were offended in him. They were offended. Verse 57. And they were offended in him. Isn't that sad? You know, the disciples of John sent unto Jesus, and they went to Jesus' meetings. I tell you, when you went into one of the meetings where Jesus was, there was revival. When you went in there, miracles was happening. People were getting deliverance. Demons were cast out. Unclean spirits was coming out of many people. And the Lord forbid them to speak, because they said, "We know you who you are, you Holy One of God. Art thou come to torment us before the time?" I tell you, the devil's a coward. When you turn on him, he'll flee. When you resist him, he'll flee. But if you entertain him, he'll stick to you. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. But they said, "We know you who you are, thou Holy One of God. Art thou come to torment us before the time?" And the disciples of John came down, and they went into one of the meetings where Jesus was, and they probably stayed a few days. And they said, they went to Jesus, and they said, "Art thou he that was for to come, or look we for another?" John wants to know. He's in prison. I believe he knowed all right. But he wanted to reassure, and the Lord of Jesus said, "Go back and tell John. Go back and tell John the things that you have seen and heard." He said, "The lame walk, the blind see, the dead are raised up, and blessed is he There's more, I haven't said it all. And blessed is he who will not be offended in me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You see, this gospel offends. Jesus offends some people. But God, help us not to be offended, but help us to be delivered.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, you've listened well. The time is gone. I've no watch, but I'm not going to prolong this tonight. I want to keep it short. And it says they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You know, unbelief will block the flow. Unbelief will block the power of God. Unbelief will block deliverance ministry. You know, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please him. May God help us to believe him. May God help us to trust him. Now, I'm just going to pray a simple prayer then. I'm going to try to get us to sing a hymn. And maybe Gary will help us. I don't know if he knows it or not. But we're going to try and sing a hymn tonight. And it's one we haven't sang for a while. And trust the Lord bless you. I want you to bow your head. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to ask the Lord to minister to you. Oh Lord, Father in heaven, we come right into your holy presence tonight, Lord. And we thank you for your word. I ask you, Lord, that none will be offended at anything that was said. But I ask you, Lord, that you'll give deciding grace. Lord, your lips, grace was poured into them. They're full of grace. Lord, I thank you for the law, but I thank you also for grace and truth that came by the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you know every soul, you know every head that's bowed in this room. I ask you, Lord, you'll save all. I'll ask you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will take a dealing with us. I ask you, God, to give deciding grace. Lord, you said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, as men and women would bow before you tonight, I pray, God, that you'll meet needs. You'll save souls. You'll not only save souls, but you'll touch bodies. And you'll make people well in Jesus' name. Lord, bless our coming together tonight. We thank you for the fellowship, one with another. Thank you, Lord, for every head that's bowed in this room. And I pray, God, that you'll speak on. Speak to your people. Call your people. Those who you're working with, you'll continue to work with them in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, I don't know what time it is, but I know it's time. It's time for me to stop. And maybe your sister Alva will come. And Gary, do you let him make me a channel of blessing? Do we know that? I will try and attempt to sing it. That is hymn book, it's 562. You know, Jesus Christ was the greatest channel of blessing that ever walked on this earth.
Amen.
And I want to say, rephrase that. Jesus Christ is the channel of blessing. Jesus Christ is the source of every good and perfect gift that comes down from the Father of lights in heaven above, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, when you receive Jesus Christ, you receive God's gift.
Amen.
What is God's gift? The gift of God is eternal life.
Yes.
The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you receive eternal life, you pass from death unto life. You can never die. Hallelujah. By what authority? I'll tell you by what authority I say this. I say this by the authority of the Word of God. And it's not only the Word of God, it's the living Word of God. God's Word's a living Word. Jesus Christ is alive. He rose from the dead. And he's alive forevermore. He's the only one that ever could say, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death.
Yes.
Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord. I want to say he was the greatest channel of blessing that ever struck this earth. Praise his holy name. You know, I would to God the teachers would take their own initiative and teach the children about the Lord Jesus. No matter about a so-called high court judge, he couldn't judge a flower pot, let alone matters of riches, matter of great detail and riches, matters of glory, heavenly glory. Yeah. Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Sister Alva, can you give us a note here? I'm sorry for springing this on you. Praise the Lord. Maybe just, well, go ahead. How many people knows this? Brother George knows it. Is your life a channel of blessing? So a lot of people doesn't know it, but listen, you're going to learn it. You're going to learn it. Maybe we'll stand at our feet, and you know, the meeting's almost over, but sure, we know each other here. And if I do something wrong, you'll forgive me. But let us try. We'll try and sing it tonight. And you know, as I say, I'm getting over the cold. I'm not making excuses. But I believe it's a great wee hymn. Praise the Lord. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Savior? Are you ready his service to do? Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service blessing. Make me a channel.
Become one. How do you become a channel of blessing? Get saved. How to become a channel of blessing, get the Holy Ghost. How to become a channel of blessing, get a prayer life. Meet the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll become a channel of blessing. Let's make it your prayer tonight as we sing the chorus again, and I'm going to ask Gary to come then. Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service blessing. Make me a channel of blessing today.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you. Brother Gary.
Well, we'll have to start off somewhere, don't we? So, I'm sure in the coming weeks we'll get better. It's great to get maybe a new song introduced into the songbook. Let us sing one that we know just to leave by. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary.